السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ صالح.
تبارك الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakrin, he has compiled this book about how to come out of the major problems of life and the trials of existence. So he titled it Adda'u wa Dawa. Adda'u refers to troubles, illnesses, sicknesses, diseases, wa dawa, and cure for the ailments. We are on the matters of dua, and in the last class he mentioned a refutation for two opinions that people have about dua that are misconceptions. Two serious misconceptions were clarified after an earlier one was also clarified, and after clarifying those misconceptions, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that وَالصَّوَابُ أَنَّهَا هُنَا كِسْمًا ثَالِثًا. He said what is correct is that there's a third view, there's a third approach to the matter غَيْرُ مَا ذَكَرَهُ السَّائِلُ, different from what was raised in those two misconceptions. What is that third view that is the correct view? That view is that وهو أن هذا المقدور قدر بأسباب ومن أسبابه الدعاء. This one occurs on page 28 on the copy we show on the screen. What is correct is that every preordainment, if you have a car, قدر بأسباب, Allah has preordained it together with the means for getting it. Everything you want to get, Allah has preordained what you want to get in this dunya and in the akhirah. Allah has preordained it, the asbab, together with the means of getting it. If you want to get al-Jannah, Allah has preordained getting al-Jannah with good deeds. And those who commit evil deeds, we know that they are following the means that leads to a goal. What goal is that? Jahannam. If you want to have a child, Allah has preordained the means to fulfilling that objective. What is the means? You marry and you could have it. Like that, if you are hungry, Allah has preordained a means of satisfying hunger. What is that? Eating food. If you are thirsty, Allah has preordained a means of satisfying your thirst. What is that? Drinking water. وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِهِ الدُّعَى. But one major means for everything you want to get in this dunya and in the akhirah is a dua. Everything you want to do, dua is a means to it. So that is why all the Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Muslims who accepted Islam with him, all of them, they paid serious attention to dua. Why? It is one major means to achieve the goals of life. In the last class, we read about Umar ibn al-Khattab. He would say to the companions, radiyallahu anhum, لَسْتُمْ تُنْصَرُونَ بِكَثْرَتِي. You are not just helped because you have a large army. لستم تنصرون بكثرة إنما تنصرون من السماء. When you go for battles, it is not because you have the best shields. It is not because you have the best swords that wins the battle for you. It is not because you have the largest number. إنما تنصرون من السماء. One major means for you to gain victory and triumph over your enemies is ad-du'a. And he would also say, رضي الله عنه عمر, إني لا أحمل هم الإجابة. I do not become burdened by whether Allah will answer my supplications. This expression occurs on page 29 on the copy that you show on the screen. Umar radiallahu anhu would say, إني لا أحمل أهم الإجابة. I do not carry upon me the burdens of whether my dua will be answered. ولكن what I only carry, إنما أحمل هم الدعاء. I only get burdened about my sitting down to make dua. فإذا ألهمت الدعاء فإن الإجابة معه. If I am ever made able to be able to make dua, then what follows dua is al-ijaba, the acceptance of that dua. So dua is very, very important. Allah told us, "Ud'uni astajib lakum." Call unto me and I will answer your dua. He also said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my servants ask regarding me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, say to them that I am near them. This is the point of reference. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I answer دعوت الداعي, the supplications of the person who supplicates. If you supplicate, Allah will answer. Ikhwa, and dua is from the asbab of obtaining all our goals in life. We read in one of the classes on Al-Adab al-Mufrad in Hadith 628, Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar, رضي الله عنهما. He said, إني لعدو في كل شيء من أمري حتى أن يفسح الله في مشي دابتي. إني لعدو في كل شيء من أمري. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما said, إني لعدو في كل شيء من أمري. I make dua regarding every affair of my life. Ikhwa, let us make this a point of reference. It will reduce our conflicts and our quarrels with people. Make dua. That person you are quarreling with, make dua for her. That man you are quarreling with, make dua for him. That's your wife, make dua for her. That's your husband, make dua for him. Dua. That's your child, dua. That's your father, dua. That's your uncle, dua. Make dua. Ibn Umar said, إني لأدعو في كل شيء من أمري. In all of my affairs, I would make dua regarding them. In fact, things that you would not think that I make dua regarding it. حتى أن يفسح الله في مشي دابتي. In fact, regarding that Allah should make the movement of my riding animal to be easy, I make dua. He said, radiallahu anhuma, hatta ara min dhalika ma yasurruni. I would always see in my riding animals something that impresses me. If you want to be impressed, if you want ease, make dua always. So Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he followed that up with a hadith we have also read in the class on Al-Adab al-Mufrad. These two classes have come head to head now, back to back, as people say. Most of the things we read in the classes on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we come back to them in this class on Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa, regarding Dua. Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said, وَفِي سُنَنِ بْنِ مَاجَ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ. It occurs in Sunan Ibn Majah. I'm on page 30 now. وَفِي سُنَنِ بْنِ مَاجَ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ قَالَ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He said, it occurs in Sunan Ibn Majah from the hadith of Abu Huraira, who said that قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من لم يسأل الله يغضب عليه. The one who would refuse to beg Allah, Allah becomes angry with him. I'm sure we remember that we read that hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, also from the report of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, as hadith 658, and the one that follows it, 658, the first and the second hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man lam yas'ali allaha yaghdab alayhi, the one who would feel arrogant not to make dua, Allah becomes angry with such persons. May Allah protect us. Moving forward today, bi'idhnillah, Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim went further. He said, وَهَذَا يَضُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ رِضَاهُ فِي سُؤَالِهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ. This hadith, that the one who does not make dua, Allah becomes angry with him. يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ رِضَاهُ فِي سُؤَالِهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ. This hadith is evidence. It points to the fact that when Allah is pleased, أَنَّ رِضَاهُ, that the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِي سُؤَالِهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ, it is obtained in your begging him and obeying him. When you beg Allah and obey Allah, it is a means towards gaining his pleasure. Just like when you don't beg him, it is a means towards gaining the pleasure, gaining the displeasure of Allah and his anger. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ رِضَاهُ فِي سُؤَالِهِ وَطَاعَتِهِ. That hadith shows that Allah's pleasure is in our asking him and our obeying him. وَإِذَا رَضِيَ الرَّبُّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And when Allah, our Lord, الرب, إِذَا رَضِيَ, it's a condition. When he becomes pleased, فَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي رِضَاهُ, every goodness comes along with the pleasure of Allah. كَمَا أَنَّ كُلَّ بَلَاءٍ وَمُصِيبَةٍ فِي غَضَبِهِ. Just as أَنَّ كُلَّ بَلَاءٍ, just as every kind of trial, وَمُصِيبَةٍ, and affliction, فِي غَضَبِهِ, they are contained in his anger. When Allah is pleased, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي رِضَاهُ, every goodness comes together with Allah's being pleased with us. And the way to obtain that is to make dua and give obedience to him. So the means to getting that goal, the goal of being pleased with us, the means to it is what? Dua and ta'a. Likewise, the means to ghadabullah, Allah's anger, at the same time is what? Through not asking, through yani adam ad-du'a, and what? Ma'asiyah, not begging Allah and committing sins. He said, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ فِي كِتَابِ الزُّهْدِ أَثَرًا. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal mentioned an author in Kitab al-Zuhd. Apart from Musnad Imam Ahmad and his book on Ilal and the books that have been compiled regarding him on Masail Fiqhiyah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal has al-Zuhd. It has been mentioned in that al-Zuhd, a report that it says, Anallahu, this report, if you go back to it, it is from the report of Wahab ibn Munabbih, Rahimahullah. Wahab ibn Munabbih, Abu Abdullah, he was the one who made that statement, contained in Kitab al-Zuhd, compiled by Al-Imam Ahmad, Rahimahumallahu. Wahab ibn Munabbih said, Rahimahullah, that Allah said, Anallahu la ilaha illa ana. Wahab ibn Munabbih said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I am Allah. La ilaha illa ana. There is no deity that is deserving of worship except me. Idha raditu baraktu. When I am pleased, baraktu, I send down my blessings. وَلَيْسَ لِبَرَكَتِي مُنْتَهَى. And my blessings know no bounds. They know no limits. إِذَا رَدِيتُ بَارَكْتُ. When Allah is pleased, subhanahu wa ta'ala, baraka, he sends down profuse blessings and favors. وَلَيْسَ لِبَرَكَتِي مُنْتَهَى. It says that I'm my barakat, my favors, my blessings, they don't have muntaha, they don't have limits. Allah blesses and blesses and blesses. But that one comes together with his ridha. وَإِذَا غَضِبْتُ لَعَنْتُ. And when I get angry, لَعَنْتُ, I distance people from my mercy. The meaning of لَعَن is that Allah distances the people from his mercy. He said, وَلَعْنَتِي تَبْلُغُ السَّابِعَ مِنَ الْوَلَدِ. And when I distance people from my mercy, تَبْلُغُ السَّابِعَ مِنَ الْوَلَدِ, it can go down up to the seventh generation of the children of such persons. The scholars say, firstly, this report is from a tabi'i, and he was not quoting it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is maqtu', it is maqtu'. Then it has in its matn, in its text, that last expression. The first set of expressions will find evidence from the Quran and Sunnah that Allah said, إِذَا رَدِيتُ بَارَكْتَ. Yes, when Allah is pleased, he sends down his blessings and favors on us. And that وَلَيْسَ لِبَرَكَتِي مُنْتَهَى. And the blessings of Allah do not have limits. They do not have bounds. He sends it down as profuse as he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا غَضِبْتُ لَعَنْتَ. And when Allah is pleased, he distances the people from his mercy. وَلَعْنَتِي تَبْلُغُ سَبْعَ تَبْلُغُ السَّابِعَ مِنَ الْوَلَدِ. And Allah's distancing people from his mercy can go down up to the seventh generation. This last expression has been largely questioned by the scholars, but it is not the point of reference. The point of reference is that when Allah is pleased, he sends down blessings and favors on us. And when he is displeased, he distances the people from his mercy. So meaning that his pleasure, it has something that brings about it. And this narration tells us how that pleasure is. When he is pleased, what happens? You see, barakat, So how do we get the pleasure of Allah? Through dua, through making dua. Ikhwa, when we make dua, Allah is pleased with us. He told us in that verse, I usually mention in the last verse of Surah Al-Furqan, the last expression in Surah Al-Furqan. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاؤُكُمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي. Say to them, O Muhammad, my Lord does not count you as anything. لَوْلَا دُعَاؤُكُمْ, if not for the fact that you supplicate to him. So when we supplicate, Allah is pleased. When he is pleased with us, he said, وَإِذَا رَضِيتُ بَارَكْتُ. When I am pleased, I send down my medicines. I send down my blessings. Ibn al-Qayyim continued and said, وَقَدْ دَلَّ الْأَقْلُ وَالنَّقْلُ وَالْفِطَرُ السَّلِيمَ أو الْفِطْرَةُ السَّلِيمَ. دَلَّ الْأَقْلُ وَالنَّقْلُ. Al-aqlu is intellect, sound intellect. Al-naqlu is Al-Quran and Sunnah, what we report. Wal-fitru salima. Fitru is the plural of fitra. That is sound, natural instincts. These three things, intellect, the Quran and the Sunnah and reports, and sound intellect. Wa tajarubu al-umam. And what the various generations of people have experienced, they have all shown that is despite the fact that al-akhtilafi ajnasiha, the various groups and communities of people, they are of different kinds. Wa milaliha, their religions were different. Wa nihaliha, they have different sects. Despite all of this, the intellect, the reports from the Quran and the Sunnah, sound natural intellect, sound natural instincts, and the experiences of the past nations, despite their kinds, despite their religions, and despite their sex, all these things prove that anna taqarruba ila rabbil alamin wa talaba mardatihi والبر والإحسان إلى خلقه من أعظم الأسباب الجالبة لكل خير. All these things, the intellect, the Quran and the Sunnah, sound natural instincts, and the experiences of the past nations, they all prove that أن التقرب إلى رب العالمين, that's nearness to Allah, seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَطَلَبَ مَرْضَاتِهِ, and seeking the pleasure of Allah, وَالْبِرَّ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, and being kind and good to others, إِلَى خَلْكِهِ, وَالْبِرَّ, and righteousness, وَالْإِحْسَانَ إِلَى خَلْكِهِ, and being kind to the creatures of Allah. These things, seeking nearness to Allah, looking for his pleasure, righteousness and kindness to the creatures, all these things, min a'zami al-asbabi al-jalibati likulli khair, they are from the biggest means, al-jalibati likulli khair, that attract every goodness, from the things that attract goodness. The way to get goodness is at-taqarrubu ila rabbil alamin, seeking nearness to Allah, the Lord of everything that exists. And what? Wa talabu mardatihi, seeking his pleasure. Wal birr, righteousness. Wal ihsana ila khalqihi, being kind and compassionate, showing goodness to the creatures of Allah. These things are the biggest asbab. Al-jalibati likulli khair. They attract every kind of goodness. When you are close to Allah, when you are righteous, when you seek Allah's pleasure, when you are kind to the people, you are attracting goodness towards yourself. وأجدادها من أكبر الأسباب الجالبة لكل شر. And the opposite of these things, that is البعد عن رب العالمين, being distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not seeking his pleasure, not being righteous, not being kind to the people. All these things, they are from the biggest means, الجالبات لكل شر, that attract all kinds of evil. Two things we are talking about: seeking nearness to Allah, righteousness, الإحسان إلى خلقه, being kind to Allah's creatures. These are from the big way to attract every kind of goodness you want. Ikhwa, wallahi, if you are kind to people, you will always get good. If you are as much as possible trying to keep righteous, you will get protection from Allah. You will get blessings from what you do. You will find good rest of mind. You will find ease in your affairs. Your children will be blessed. So, at-taqarrubu ila rabbil alamin, seeking nearness to the Lord of the universe, wa talaba mardatihi, and then searching, asking for, following the means to obtaining Allah's pleasure, wal birra, and righteousness, wal ihsan ila khalqihi, and being kind to the creatures of Allah, min a'zami al-asbabi al-jalibati likulli khair, they are from the biggest means of attracting every kind of goodness. Wa'ajdadaha, the opposite of these things, min akbari al-asbabi al-jalibati likulli shar, they are from the biggest means to attract every kind of evil. So when a person is far away from Allah, he begins to join secret cults in various forms of various kinds. She belongs to cults, he belongs to cults. Begin to drink alcohol, begin to commit zina, you begin to go to nightclubs, they begin to tell lies, they begin to fund pornography and evil, they get busy with films, they get busy with comedians and entertainment and its people. And all of these, min asbab al-jalibati likulli shar, they are from the means of attracting every kind of evil. So what happens at the end of the day? They can't find sleep. They have to be in the night parties to pass the night. They get exhausted before sleep can overtake them. But that a man goes home, relaxes, and finds good sleep in the night, they are not like this. Why? Because they are upon things that are al-jalibati likulli shar, that attract evil. Ibn al-Qayyim continued and said, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ اسْتُجْلِبَتْ نِعَمُ اللَّهِ فَمَسْتُجْلِبَتْ نِعَمُ اللَّهِ فَمَسْتُجْلِبَتْ نِعَمُ اللَّهِ وَاسْتُدْفِعَتْ نِقَمُهُ بِمِثْلِ طَاعَتِهِ وَالتَّقَرُّبِ إِلَيْهِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى خَلْقِهِ. Ibn al-Qayyim continued, he said, مَسْتُجْلِبَتْ نِعَمُ اللَّهِ, no, there is no way to attract the various blessings and favors from Allah. Was stood fi'at niqamuhu, and there is no best way to keep away his anger, to put away his displeasure, bimithli ta'atihi, that is like obeying him. The best way to attract the favors of Allah, and the best way to keep away Allah's anger on us, is ta'atuhu wa taqarrubu ilayh, obeying Allah and seeking nearness to Allah, wal ihsan ila khalqihi, and being kind to the creatures of Allah. Ikhwan, there's a point he's repeating. The first point is that everything has a means. You want Allah to be pleased with you, you have a means. There is something you have to do. You want Allah to be displeased with you, there are things people do. When they do it, Allah becomes displeased with them. Meaning that everything has a means to it, as we have been saying. And one of the means to that is dua. Then he began to say, if you now want the blessings of Allah, one major way to attract blessings from Allah. Somebody asks you, I want blessings from Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim answers, فَمَسْتُجْلِ بَتْنِيَمُ اللَّهِ. There is no way to attract and bring the blessings of Allah. وَسْتُدْفِعَتْنِقَمُ. And there is no way to prevent and keep away his anger away from us, like ta'atihi, obedience to him. No way like it. No way like it. So you are finding, how do I become a righteous person? How do I become full of blessings? You want blessings? The way to get it is ta'atullah, obedience to Allah, wa taqarrubi ilayhi, and seeking nearness to him, wal ihsan ila khalqihi, and being kind to the creatures of Allah. Wallahi, if you are kind to people, Allah will be kind to you. If you seek nearness to him, Allah draws you near and protects you. You can see, he draws you near when you seek nearness to him. He protects you when you obey him. So when you obey him, you don't drink alcohol. You don't commit zina. You don't go and pass the night in entertainment and event halls. You don't drink alcohol. You don't tell lies. You don't play gambles. You don't eat riba. In fact, you don't become free with women who are not your maharim. You only relate with them as is necessary and appropriate. All of these things become a means of protection for you. You find rest of mind. You sleep well at night. You have your children with you, your wife and your family. You are a responsible person. Why? Because of obedience to Allah. What taqarrubi ilayhi, seeking nearness to him. Wal ihsani ila khalqihi, and then showing kindness and goodness to the creatures of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim continued, rahimahullah. He said, وَقَدْ أَرَتَّبَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ حُصُولَ الْخَيْرَاتِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah has connected achieving khayrat fi dunya, goodness in this world, وَالْآخِرَةِ, and goodness in akhirah. These two things, he has connected it. وَحُصُولَ الشُّرُورِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Likewise, getting, coming in front of shurur, subhanallah, being unfortunate upon evils, fi dunya wal akhirah, in this world and akhirah. Allah has connected these two things, husul al khairat fi dunya wal akhirah wa husul al shurur fi dunya wal akhirah. These two things, achieving goodness and unfortunately coming in front of evil in this world and hereafter. Fi kitabihi ala al-a'mal, Allah in his book, in the Quran, he has connected this thing to good deed, to deeds. That is, husul al-khairat fi dunya wal akhirah are connected to al-a'mal al-saliha. Achieving goodness in this world, akhirah, are connected to good deeds. Likewise, husul al-sharri aw al-shurur fi dunya wal akhirah, they are also connected to deeds, shameful evil practices. The two of them, they have the things that lead to them. One thing always ever leads to the other. As things have goals, they have the means to those goals. He said, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ رَتَّبَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ حُصُولَ الْخَيْرَاتِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah has connected attaining goodness in this world and hereafter. وَحُصُولَ الشُّرُورِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and coming in front of evils in this world and in the Akhirah. في كتابه على الأعمال. He has done that connection in his book. He connected the two of them to deeds. ترتيب الجزاء على الشرط. The way he did it. One way is that it was like الجزاء على الشرط. If you fulfill a shart, a condition, then you get the jaza, you get the result. If you do this, you get this. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Man, anyone, يَعْمَلْ, who does a deed, مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, as small as whatever can be small, the smallest thing, the weight of ذَرَّة, the smallest thing you can imagine, يَرَهُ, that is the result. He will get what you have done. So you can see Allah connected khair to khair. Man ya'mal mithqala dharratin khairan ya'mal khairan. Anybody who does man ya'mal khairan yarahu. Man ya'mal sharran yarahu. This kind of a tartib is tartibu al-jaza'i ala shart. Allah has connected the results to particular conditions. This is one way Allah does it in the Quran. He will give us examples. Jaza'u upon shart. If you do this, you get this. Intattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. If you are fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consciously, yaj'al lakum. Allah makes you a guided person in your affairs. In tajtanibu kaba'ir ma tunha. If you avoid kaba'ir, nukaffir ankum, say you will get this. So you see, something is always a means to the other. Allah made it in front of, in terms of ashart and al-jaza. If the condition is fulfilled, then the result is obtained. So that is one way Allah did it in the Quran. Wal ma'lul ala al-illah. Al-illah is the cause. Al-ma'lul is what the cause brings about. Effect, cause and effect. So thing is happening because of so thing. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاطِيَةً. Allah told us about the Jews. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِثَاقَهُمْ. They are regularly breaching the covenants and agreements they reach with Allah. They always do it. So he says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِثَاقَهُمْ. Because they violated that agreement that I had with them. لَعَنَّاهُمْ. I cursed them. So you can see, you always have the reason why something is done and the cause for something and the effect of that thing. It's another approach that Allah mentions. Then he also used an approach of وَالْمُسَبَّبْ عَلَى السَّبَبِ. The musabbab ala sabab. The musabbab is the end. Ala sabab. Allah connects it to the means. So three approaches Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned in the way that Allah talks about how things are connected to the results that they bring. The first way is that tartib al-jaza'i ala shart. It can be in terms of condition and results. It can also be in terms of al-ma'lul ala al-illah. Al-ma'lul ala al-illah. It can also be in terms of the cause, which is the illah, depending on bringing about an effect. It can also be in terms of al-musabbab ala sabab, an end being caused by a means. These are three ways. In all of it, Ibn al-Qayyim is making us understand that things lead to the other. Things, one thing will lead to the other. There are always conditions and results, ashart and al-jaza. There are always illa and ma'lul, cause and effect. There is always a sabab al-musabab. A sabab, the means, والمسبب and what that means ended in. All of these kinds of approaches are in the Quran. He said, رحمه الله, وهذا في القرآن يزيد على ألف موضيع. This one occurs in more than 1,000 places in the Quran where things don't just happen. This is the major point here. Things don't just happen. One thing brings about another. So if you want that another, you must follow the means. You want a child, you must follow the means. You want a wife, you must follow the means. You want to succeed in Akhirah, you must follow the means. You want a peaceful home, you must follow the means. You want to be rich, you must follow the lawful means to be rich. Whatever you want to do, it has a means. So it is not just the end, the goal that is preordained. They are preordained together with the means. You want to go off hunger, there's a means, you eat food. You want to go off thirst, there's a means, you drink water. You want to have a child, there's a means, you marry and you cohabit. You want to pass exam, you read, you study to pass exams. All of these things are preordained together. They are all in the Qadar together. That these things will be occurring as a means to this. Things like this occur in the Quran more than 1,000 times. Ibn al-Qayyim said, these things like this, وَهَذَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ يَزِيدُ عَلَىٰ أَلْفِ مَوْضِعٍ. This one occurs in the Quran in more than 1,000 times. When cause is connected to the effect, when means is connected to the end, when results are connected to the conditions that will bring that result. He wants to begin to give us examples. Ibn al-Qayyim wants to give us examples. So you cannot be sleeping on your bed, pressing your phone, imagining that you want to be rich. No. You cannot be sleeping on your bed, pressing your phones, imagining that your breakfast will be ready. No, as a woman, you have to stand up and cook. You cannot be lying down on your bed doing nothing, expecting that you become appointed as a director. No. You cannot get busy on the social media. You are just busy there, talking about everything that does not concern you. And then you say that you are expecting barakat in your life. No. 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 You must follow the means. That we follow the means to achieve our goals. It is mentioned in the Quran more than 1,000 times. You must follow a means to achieving that goal. You must fulfill the conditions to get the results. You must also follow the cause to get the effect. He said, Rahimahullah, Fataratan yurattibu al-hukma al-khabariya al-kawniya والأمر الشرعية على الوصف المناسب. Sometimes Allah connects between الحكم الخبرية الكونية, the ruling, the khabar, the information, universe related ruling. There's an information perhaps of those who had gone past. And it has to do with something that happened in creation. What happened to them? What happened to some people in the past when their creation or something that happened to them has to change because of the ruling? The ruling changed, they changed. So these kinds of things, Allah presents this to us. Wal amra shar'iyya. And the connection between that and the commands that it we are given in the Sharia, Allah will present it to us. Alal wasfi al munasibi lahu. He will present it to us in a description that suits it, that is appropriate for it. Let us give us an example, it will become clear. He said, Rahimahullah, kakawlihi ta'ala, just as what Allah said, for example, in the Quran. فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا عَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ, قلنا لهم كونوا كردة خاسئين. When أصحاب السبت, we remember their story. They were a group, a city amongst the Jews. Allah commanded them in the Quran. He told us about it in Surah Al-Baqarah. He told us their story in Surah Al-A'raf and in other places in the Quran. These people were prohibited from fishing because in their city they had a river. That river produces fish mostly on the days of Saturday. So Allah prohibited them to fish on that Saturday. So by way of bypassing that hukm al-shar'i, the hukm al-shar'i is that they should not fish on Saturdays. But they wanted to bypass it. So what were they doing? They set the net for fish on Friday night. They go and remove the net on Sunday morning. Have they fished on Saturday or not? They were prohibited from fishing on Saturday, but they wanted to bypass this hukmun shar'iyun. They now set the net on Friday. They go to remove the net on Saturday. Have they fished on Sunday morning? They remove the net on Sunday morning. They set the net on Friday night. Have they fished on Saturday or not? They have certainly fished on Saturday indirectly. Allah said, فَلَمَا عَتَوْا أَمَّا نُهُ عَنْهُ. When they went beyond limit, تَجَاوَزُ. They went beyond limits regarding مَا نُهُ عَنْهُ. What they were prohibited from. They were prohibited from fishing on Saturday, but they went beyond limits regarding it. What now happened to them? This their action, this their deeds, this the condition, this means that they have brought. What did it bring to them? What was this result? Kulna lahum kunu kiradatan khasin. We said to them, kunu kiradatan. All of you should become monkeys. So you see, they did something and they had a consequence. There was a cause, there was an effect, there was a means, there was an end. So this one, Allah brings it as a ruling, is an information to us about something that happened in the universe. What was that? Changing human beings to monkeys. What brought about it? Amrun shar'iyun, a command related to the sharia that they violated and they faced the consequences. So in this verse, it shows that when you do something, your action brings repercussions. When there's a cause, there's an effect. When there's a condition, you fulfill that, or there's a result. Something will always bring about the other. فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا أَمَّانُهُ عَنْهُ. When they went beyond limits regarding what they had been prohibited, that was their action. So what followed, that's their action. كُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا كِرَدَةً خَاسِينَ. It came with a repercussion and a consequence. There's another example Allah told us in the Quran. This time regarding Fir'aun in Surah Az-Zukhruf. And he had told us about Fir'aun in many places in the Quran. Many places in the Quran. In Taha, in Al-Qasas, in parts of Al-Baqarah. In many places in the Quran. In Surah Az-Zukhruf here, Allah said, فَلَمَّا آسَفُونَ انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ. فَلَمَّا آسَفُونَ. يعني فرعون على في الأرض. He was oppressive on the surface of the earth and arrogant. We knew how he treated Bani Israel. When Allah sent Musa to him, we knew how he treated Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام. And he continued to be given time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He enjoyed much time, so much that one day he declared, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. He said to his people that he was their Lord, the Most High. Before that, he had said other things. Ya amanu ibnuli sarha la'alli ablughu al-asbab. Asbab as-samawati fa'attali'a ila ilahi Musa. Wa inni la'adhunnuhu kadhiba. He ordered that a skyscraper be built for him. He wants to go into the heavens to see the God of Musa. I think Musa is lying, but let me go and see it. So many acts of oppression and aggression came from Fir'aun. But in Surah Zukhruf here, Allah said, Falamma asafuna. When these people, Fir'aun and his mala, and his people in power, and those who were with him, asafuna, they made us become angry. That was what they did. That was their action. That was the condition that they fulfilled. That condition is that if you bring anger, if you act in disobedience to Allah, you get Allah's anger. Asafuna. They made us become angry. Allah said, intaqamna minhum. The jaza'u was brought to them. The result of their action was brought to them. The effect of that cause, what was the cause? Asafuna. Their behavior, their speech, their conduct brought Allah's anger. Intaqamna minhum. So they saw the result. They saw the evil repercussions. Allah said, فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. We made all of them, أَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ. We made them to go down to the depths of the sea. We made Fir'aun and his people, his armed forces, his army, his air force, we brought them to the seabed, all of them, أجمعين. فَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ سَلَفًا وَمَثَلًا لِلْآخِرِينَ. We made them salaf, a means of taking lessons for those who come after them. But the point where we came to this verse was they did something, they got something. They followed a means, they got the results. They followed a cause, they saw the effect. Asafuna intakomna mina. They made us anger, they got the result. So this is more than 1,000 in the Quran. He also gave us another example. Waqauluhu. Another example of that. Wasariku wasarikatu faqta'u aydiyahuma. Asariku, a male thief. Wasarikatu, the female thief. Faqta'u aydiyahuma. The legal punishment for each of them is qat'ul yad, cut their hands from the wrist, as it is made clear in the books of hadith. Cut the hand from the wrist. Now you can see there's a condition and there's a result. There is a cause, there's an effect. There's a means, there's an end. As sariqa, killing the sharia, it has a legal punishment. What is this? Qat ul yad. The hand of the sariq aw sariqat will be cocked. If you are caught, you are arrested stealing. In the region, there's a repercussion. There's a consequence. That one occurs in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Another example that Allah gave us in the Quran about the fact that actions always have repercussions. Nothing goes on for free. You always, there's what you are doing, it has a result. What you are doing has a result. It is the sunnah of the Quran. It has occurred in more than 1,000 places in the Quran. That what? Your actions, your deed, your statements, you always there for you, they have repercussions. They are either statements and actions and deeds that will bring you goodness, or they are statements and actions and deeds that will bring you evil. It's always either like this. You are the one to check where you are. They do not go for free. All statements, all actions, all deeds, they either bring you khairat and barakat from Allah, or that they bring you an-niqam from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from His anger. Ibn al-Qayyim gave us another example. In Surah Al-Ahzab, this time a very lengthy verse. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتُ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. We gave an example about Ashab al-Sabti, people who were prohibited from fishing on Saturdays. They did, they faced a repercussion. We gave an example of Fir'aun. He made actions and statements that brought earned him anger from Allah. We mentioned the repercussion. We also spoke about the thief, male and female. Anybody who does it, we mentioned the repercussion. Here in this verse, Allah said, "Inna al-Muslimin wal-Muslimat." Certainly, the people of Islam, male and female, wal-Mu'minin wal-Mu'minat, the people of Iman, male and female, wal-Qanitin wal-Qanitat, people who are devoted to Allah in worship, devout servants, male and female, wal-Sadiqin wal-Sadiqat, honest people, male and female, they are ever truthful, wal-Sabirin wal-Sabirat, people of sabr, patience, male and female, والخاشعين والخاشعات, people who are consciously giving to fearing Allah and His punishment, male and female, والمتصدقين والمتصدقات, people who regularly give sadaqat, male and female, والصائمين والصائمات, people who are always upon fasting, male and female, Monday, Thursday, Wednesday, like this, Som Dawood, صائمين والصائمات, male and female, وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ, those who preserve their chastity, male and female. Allah said, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, those who regularly remember Allah, making adhkars and dua, male and female. All these actions, Iman, Islam, devotion, honesty, patience, consciously fearing Allah, giving sadaqah, fasting, these are actions. What is the result of that? Allah said, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has preserved for them مَغْفِرَةً, vast forgiveness, وَأَجْرًا, and vast reward that is mighty, azim. So if you do this, you get this. الذاكرين الله كثير الذاكرات أعد الله, those who regularly remember Allah, male and female, أعد الله, Allah has, there's a result, that their condition has a result, that means it has an end, that means they are followed, it has an end, it has a result. It's a basic rule in our religion. Verses have occurred in the Quran in about more than 1,000 places, making us understand that good deeds bring about goodness and evil deeds bring about evil repercussions. Everything in life, every goal in life, every objective that you seek, it has a means to it. The way that goal is preordained, the objective is preordained, that is the same way the means to achieving that objective is preordained. So don't say, if it is preordained, I'm going to be a doctor, I will be a doctor, whether I go to a medical school or not. No. If you want to become a medical doctor, that is the goal. You must follow the means. What is the means? Attend a medical school. Or if it has been preordained that I will be a lawyer, I will be a lawyer, whether I follow the means or not? No. If it is preordained, if you want that goal achieved, attend a law school. I hope that it is clear. In now, all of these, a universal means to achieving goals is what? Dua. You want to be a medical doctor. You attend medical school. You are full of dua. You want to be a lawyer. You attend a law school. You are full of dua. You want to be an engineer. You attend an engineering school. You are full of dua. You want to be a scholar of hadith. You learn with the scholar of hadith. You are full of dua. You want to be a faqih. You want to be a mufassir. You study ilm al-tafsir and other things connected to it. You are full of dua. Dua is the universal means to achieving goals. And goals have means. You cannot say you want to achieve a goal and then you are sleeping on the bed. You want to be a president of a country the way the country is now. You have to participate in democratic elections. You want to, at any goal you want to achieve, you want to be a military major general tomorrow, you have to join the army. It's not by just lying down on your bed and pressing phones. So every one of us should think about the goals he wants to achieve and stand up to start following the means to that goal. The way goals are preordained, the means to those goals are also preordained. There are no goals without means. So if you want the goal, you follow the means. If you want the result, you fulfill the conditions. If you want the result, you fulfill the conditions. I hope that this is clear, bismillah. About Rahman.
Salaatullah alaykum, ya Sheikh Ali.
Ameen wa iya.
Jazakallah khair.
Ameen wa iya.
There is a question here that has been recurring.
Yeah.
It reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah preserve you for goodness.
Allahu wa barakatuh. Ameen.
Please, what advice will you give to a sister in her mid-20s who has a child, but her husband has traveled abroad and married another woman, primarily for the purpose of obtaining citizenship? He told his wife in Nigeria that if she can't wait for him, she is free to leave the marriage as this is his decision. There is no plan in place for her for the child. His only stated plan is that once he gets the passport, he will be visiting Nigeria occasionally and returning abroad. In essence, he wants her to remain in Nigeria with no clear support or future arrangements. What will you advise for this sister?
Long stand. This kind of a case, the parents of the sister should be involved immediately. Oh woman, involve your parents and your relatives immediately. That is my first advice. The second advice is that I want you to understand that this man, he has no plan for you. So if you are pleased with what he has said, then you remain. But I don't think you'll be pleased with it because he has chosen to use you just as he wants. So you shouldn't be pleased with things like that. But if that is what you want, then you have to remain. Otherwise, he's not speaking like a man who is responsible for a woman who desires goodness for her in this world and the hereafter. This speech do not indicate that he has good goals for you. The path he is following is not a path that shows that the end will be good for you. The means he is following does not guarantee good end for you. This is not the road to say, oh, this man wants good for me in my dunya and akhirah. So the matter is left with you to report the case to your family, your father, your mother, possibly seek a means of going out of the marriage. When you speak with your parents, go out of the marriage, take good care of yourself, prepare your deen, be sound in your health, and then follow a means of starting another marriage completely. May Allah bring you goodness in your first marriage, if it is going to be a means of goodness for you. Perhaps your parents may decide to speak with him. If they speak with him, he may change and come back home. And it is possible that your parents decide with you that you should go out of the marriage. But make sure you bring your parents into this matter. Don't tell them a lie, tell them the truth. Explain the matter to them. Let it be clear, and you should be clear, what are you looking for? What is your goal? If your goal in life is to remain the way he wants you to remain, no problem. But if your goal in life is to be a better person for yourself, for your children in this dunya and akhirah, this is not the road. But together with your parents, you can decide to go out of the marriage, and then you seek a better husband, bi-iznillah. The road is never closed for anybody. The road is never closed for anybody. Just seek the means that will bring you to your goals. Now, I like to say this. Don't be surprised that this thing has happened regarding a woman. I know a case where it has happened regarding a man. A brother funded his wife to travel to the U.S. She got there for a master's degree. Before she ended the master's degree, she started sending messages home. The brother should look for another wife. After they'd conducted a big marriage here in Lagos, the sister sent a message home. The brother should look for another wife. Or wait for whatever she wants to do. The brother went to the family of the girl. They said to him that she was the one who brought you. So what she says is what they will do. The family of the girl who was abroad followed the girl against the husband. So I'm thinking, if you go to his family too will say, well, it's your husband, he brought you here. That was why I said report the case to your own family. May Allah protect us. These issues of brothers and sisters, one leg up, one leg down, traveling abroad, leaving your wife, or traveling abroad, leaving your husband. In many cases, the results are bad. Some of them that are worse is that the man goes together with his wife or brings her shortly after going. You still see when the women spend 5, 6, 7 years there, they become the enemies of their husband. They are the ones who go to court to seek divorce. May Allah protect all of us from these kinds of evils. Let everybody understand, as we have read in class today, everything you do, it has its own repercussion. If you do good, you get good in this dunya and akhirah. If you choose to do just what you like, and then it ends up becoming evil regarding your husband and your wife, Allah will surely pay you with what you have done. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. That is the essence of our lessons today. Every statement, every action, every deed, wallahi, it has its own result. You will get it. If good, then good. If evil, wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. I think it's a good place to call it a day today about the Rahman.
Jazakumullah
khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.